Hello, welcome to Light in the Darkness. Light in the Darkness. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130, that at the opening of God's Word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Here at Light in the Darkness, we like to take the Word of God, the light of the Word of God, and shine into areas that may be obscure, that may be dark, or that may be confusing to you, and help you see things from another perspective. Yes. We want you to see it from God's perspective, because when you see things from God's perspective, then you can walk by faith and not by sight. My name is Scott.
My name is Jennifer, and thank you for tuning in to our podcast. We have a special topic for you today. We're going to be talking about setting spiritual goals. So spiritual goals, what are spiritual goals? Spiritual goals are what you set for yourself to better yourself according to your faith, what you believe, so that you can be mentally sound, well in your emotions and in your spirit, so and physically, so that you can keep your physical health going as well. So the first step that we're going to talk about, we're going to give you some steps as far as what you need to do to prepare yourself for setting those goals, and then we'll give you some examples of some spiritual goals that, you know, at the end, okay? So the first one is asking for guidance. You want to ask Father God for guidance. He says in His Word in Psalms 19 that His Word is a light, a lamp unto our feet, and a light to our pathway. So we can go to His Word and pray to Him and ask Him for guidance as to what we want to accomplish this year. Before you write anything down, you ask for guidance. You ask Father God to help you to see what your plans and your goals are for the coming year, or for any situation. It could be a day-to-day thing that you may be wanting to, you know, accomplish in your work, accomplish at home, cleaning up, whatever that may do be, that He wants to be a part of everything that you want to set full in your goal setting. So, Scott, we're going to talk about the guidance.
Okay. So Proverbs 19. In Proverbs 21, verse 19, it says, many are the plans in a man's heart,
yes,
but the Lord's purpose, His counsel, His advice will stand, which says that God's purpose is more important to us, or it should be more important to us than our own plans, because we know that we make plans all the time, and sometimes our plans come out as we expect Him to, and sometimes they don't. But when we look at the scripture, Proverbs 21:19, where it says, but the Lord's purpose will stand, when we get aligned with God's purpose for our lives, and we are allowing Him to direct us, and He's put His Spirit in us, He's put His Word in us, when we allow that to be the guiding force in our lives, then we can know with an assuredness that every plan that we make is going to be successful, because God puts His reputation on the line when you choose to align yourself with Him, which says when you don't, then there is no guarantee of the success of your endeavor. So as Jennifer was saying, one of the things that we want to do is we can make plans, because of course Proverbs 16:9 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord directs the steps.
Yes.
So when you're making plans, take your plans to God before you start to try and execute them or come up with the resources or talking to people about them, and let God give you the wisdom and the guidance that you need. Because when He's directing your steps, and as Jennifer said, as your steps are being ordered, then of course then there's a light for your feet and a light for your pathway. So not only can you see where you're stepping, but you can also see where you're going. And so God doesn't want us walking in darkness. He doesn't want us walking in fear or uncertainty. He wants us to know definitely and definitively where we are going, what it's going to take to get there, and whatever we are lacking, He adds more grace.
Yes, He adds the grace. I love the grace.
Yeah.
So, you know, and going forward and asking for guidance, then we want to evaluate Mm-hmm. We want to evaluate the year, evaluate your present situation as to what you accomplished through this year or within this month. What did you do? It could be currently than that, because it don't have to be just a year long. It can be a 30 days, it could be 60 days, it could be 90 days, whatever you set your goal for, to evaluate what you have learned, what you got out of this year. Evaluate those things. You know, sometimes we can have challenges in, you know, throughout the year, and we have had those challenges throughout the years, and the goals that you set for this year are the 30 days or the 90 days or the 60 days. What did you accomplish? If you accomplished reaching those goals, you know, look at them and say, hey, I didn't reach those goals this year, those 30 days, those 60 days or 90 days, but next year, the 30 days, 60 days or 90 days, I'm gonna reach this goal, right? So you work on evaluating what went wrong, how you wanna change those things, what did you learn from those things, you know, that you evaluated. I did this year, didn't accomplish this thing this year, but next year going forward, I'm gonna push that into the next year because it wasn't obtainable at that time. So evaluate your you know, time, your year, your 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days.
Yeah, and so, a good way to evaluate yourself, one of the things that we instruct our clients when they're going through challenges, when they're going through storms or difficulties, look at the storms that you've gone through. Look at the challenges and the difficulties that you've experienced, you know, over the last 3 months, 6 months, over the last year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. You can go back as far as you want. Look at things that you've gone through in the past, and then look at the effects that have had on you. Because when storms come in life, when God allows storms to come, there is a purpose for a storm. Storms will show you areas in your life where you are sufficient and adequate and strengthened and prepared. But storms will also show you areas in your life where you have maybe a weakness or a fallacy or a default. And God shows you that not to expose you to shame. He shows you those areas in your life that needs fixing so that you can bring them to Him and He can strengthen you in those areas. So oftentimes we go through storms, but we don't look at what the storm is exposing. But just remember that storm is showing you things like, and you know, I say that, you know, if you go through a hurricane, we've gone through some because we live in
yes,
Texas.
Yes.
You go through a hurricane or you deal with a tornado or strong winds, then you can look at your home and you can look at areas and you can say, hey, you know what? My home came through this storm pretty good. But if it didn't, and the tree was blown down, or a fence was torn down, or maybe the roof was damaged, then you realize, you know what? Before the next storm, it has shown me areas where I need to fix, and I focus on getting those fixed. Other areas, windows weren't blown out and things like that, you said then, okay, then in that area, I don't need to fix. So as you are looking to evaluate, you know, your life to move forward, don't avoid looking at the areas in your life where you are weak, because those are the areas that the storm, when it comes again, and it will come,
yes,
that you will be devastated again if you hadn't done the work to prepare yourself to deal with the next storm.
Amen. Yes, and we look at, you know, the storm as, you know, a physical, natural sense of things, but spiritually, the storm, what happened to our house, our physical, mental, emotional state? What happened? How did it affect that part of me? Am I breaking down and not seeking God for guidance? Am I, you know, disrupting somebody else's flow in their mental capacity or, you know, their well-being? Am I disrupting some, what am I doing spiritually to, you know, work on my house? And that's the, you know, point that we're trying to get to you. Spiritual, setting those spiritual goals for yourself so you can obtain those goals and stuff. So now the next step that we're going to talk about is keeping it real, keeping those goal settings real. Keep it to where you can reach those goals, making it, you know, obtainable, not unrealistic, right? Because you can make some unrealistic goal and then begin to, you know, have some mental, emotional, stress, you know. You begin to give yourself, cause yourself to have some damage. So be real about how you set your goals. If it's a, I'm going to reach this in 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days, or the year to come, I'm going to make sure that next year I'm going to work on reaching this by a certain time. So make it, be real, be true to yourself, because if you're not, you know, setting real goals for yourself, you're not being true to yourself about how you're going to reach them. Okay?
So, you know, I like another one of our favorite scriptures is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where God says, I know the plans that I have for you.
Yes.
Plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and an expected end. So God has already planned our lives. In Psalm 139, I think it's verse 16, he says, every day of our lives were written in a book. God wrote every day of your life in a book before one day has occurred.
Yes.
Nothing happens in our lives that catches God off guard. Nothing happens in our lives that God has not already prepared for and caused you to be victorious. Jesus said in John chapter 16, I think it's verse 33, he says, these things I spoke unto you, that in me you will have peace. He said, in the world you have tribulations. That word tribulation means pressure and stress. He said, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. Now, when Jesus says he's overcome the world, he's not talking about the earth. He's talking about the things that happen in life. He says, I've overcome them. And because of our connection, our relationship with him, we have overcome the world also. So 1 John chapter 5, around verse 5, it says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So when we put our faith in Christ, because he's the author and finisher of our faith, and we let the Holy Spirit direct us and guide us, then we have tribulations in the world. We have pressures and stresses. But what we do is, when we're walking by faith and knowing that we've already overcome them, we don't go into despair and discouragement and despondency and suicidal thoughts and all these kind of things, because you know what? It's only temporary. And when you endure a storm, eventually it will pass over. But if you don't endure the storm, if you allow the storm to get inside of you, then it can destroy you. And as Jennifer was saying, we're not just talking about physical storms. A storm can be a fear. It can be a worry. It can be an anxiety. It could be a sickness. It could be a financial challenge. It could be a problem with families and things like that. Anything can be a storm in your life. But just know that God has already had a perfect plan for you. And he says, I have already made you successful. We just have to be strong in our hearts, strong in our convictions, and trust God and hold on to the promises of his word.
Amen. Well said. So, you know, that's so important, to hold on to the promises of his word, because his word is what he gives us to heal any situation that we have, to cause us to focus on what is true, what is right, and what is good for us. So now the next step in preparing yourself for your goals is to envision what you want to do in the next year, in the 30 days, 60 days, or whatever. Envision what your life would be like spiritually to obtain those goals. What do I want to do? What am I going to see myself doing? Say, for instance, did the current year or the current process that you had, or you tried to set that goal for yourself, I tried to get out there and do something for somebody else more, okay? So you envision yourself doing more of that if you didn't accomplish it this year. You know what I'm saying? So envision yourself as to whatever I want to do, so I can prepare myself and write those things down. I want to, you know, go travel a little bit more, you know, those type of things. Doing some things that you see yourself doing before you write them down. Okay?
Yeah.
So, some of the things you want to ask?
Yeah, and I was thinking about when you said visions about, you know, Proverbs 29, verse 18,
yes.
It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that word perish means to cast off restraints. They just give up and they will allow any and everything to just be okay. And so vision comes from God. God, and when I talk about vision, vision is those things that are not in the natural, but they just as real as if they were. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says God calls those things that be not as they already are. So when God speaks something to us, he's not telling us what he's going to do. Mm. When God speaks to us, he's telling us what he has already accomplished. What he wants us to do is get a vision of it, get a revelation of it, and begin to see it. Because if we can't see it, we can't accomplish it. So the Bible says, and he says that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or even think and imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. So God wants us to take our imagination and extend it beyond what we can do. Because as long as we stay in the realm of possibilities of what we can accomplish, then it doesn't require faith. If I know I can go into the gym and run on the track, on a treadmill at 4.0 for an hour, then that's not a challenge. But if I push myself, and so God is constantly pushing us to excel, to go above and beyond, because when you take a step of faith and you go beyond your financial abilities, your educational abilities, your resources and everything else, and God has told you to do something, you are putting his name on the line. And God gets excited when his name is on the line, because God likes to show out. Most people don't realize that God likes to show that he's the baddest thing around. Yeah. So all of these other systems out there that are trying to tell you how to be successful and prosperous, God says, I can give you one word and it will confound the minds of the foolish, of the wise and the strong. So God wants to do something in you. And the scripture says he wants to do something in you that when others see your good works, it's going to bring credit to him. So he wants to show out, but he wants to show out through you. But he can't if you don't get out the boat and start walking on the water.
Yes, yes. Okay. I love that. I love it when God, he comes and backs us up. So it means that, you know, when we set these goals and we don't reach them, it say, don't be hard on yourself. Prepare your mind. Don't be hard on yourself. You know, go to God and say, oh, God, I didn't obtain this goal to this year, the 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever. But God, he tells us. He tells us to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us.
Right.
He cares about every single little thing that concerns you. Whatever concerns you, concerns God.
Right.
So if you feel like you felt, don't beat yourself up. Don't punish yourself, right? But what you can do is just push yourself, like Scott was saying, push yourself to do those things, to change. You know, okay, I didn't accomplish it, so I'm going to push myself, get up and do something different today, or plan for the next year to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
But don't waddle in that. Just cast it on God. Okay, God, help me to see a better perspective, a better way of doing this, so that I can keep this goal and accomplish what I want to reach.
Yeah.
So
remember this when you're planning your life. You said, man, I want to go back to school so I can further my education. And, you know, I want to, you know, make more money. But when you are considering doing something, when you're considering improving yourself, do it with the mind of considering someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition and conceit or pride.
Yes.
But in humility, let each of us consider others as better than ourselves. And then verse 4 says, look not only onto your own interests only, but also to the interests of others. Mm-hmm. So as you are planning your life and you are moving forward, if you want to walk like God, God is always thinking about others. His focus is always on others. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good for others and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So when you are planning your life, if you plan to go back to school or you planning your investments for you, consider how you can benefit someone else. Mm-hmm. Remember, God is always on the side of what? The oppressed. Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Who are the oppressed? The people who are less advantaged, the people who are unfortunate, the people who have fallen into situations and circumstances, maybe because of some problems on their own, or maybe it wasn't on their own. But oftentimes, we are focusing more on what we can do for ourselves than on how we can help somebody who's dealing with things. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yes.
When we are giving, we are acting like God, because the Bible says again in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ died for us when we were rebelling against him, which shows us the kind of love that we should have for others. Even when people have done us wrong, go back throughout your life and look at people who have hurt you or done you wrong, and let that be a part of your resolutions or your commitments going forward, to forgive those people no matter how bad they've hurt you. Release those people and let them go, because what that does, it frees you up. And that healing that you get from releasing others, I mean, you can't even begin to imagine. A lot of our sicknesses, mental, emotional, and physical, and even in the social and financial realms, come about because we are holding on resentment and bitterness and anger and hurt and, and just hatred toward people.
Yeah.
And it's affecting us. It's a cancer that's eating away at our well-being. Mm-hmm. So find yourself looking at people that have hurt you and said, hey, I'm going to let them go. Why? So I can be free to accomplish everything that God has purposed for me to accomplish and live a fulfilled life.
Okay. Praise God. So now, thank you for that, Scott, because that leads into the next part of what we're going to be talking about. It's talking about some examples of it, because you was given some examples of how to take your focus off of yourself and put it on others. So now, in order to do that, and you know that you want to grow spiritually, and you know that you want to know what God is saying to you about your situation, about what's going on that you see that need to be changed in yourself, then you want to say, I want to know more about God's Word. That means reading His Word more.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself some time to, you know, read a scripture on a daily basis. You know, setting some goals in that point. This is some examples that we're going to give you. Reading the scriptures 365 days in a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read a scripture at least once a day, you know, every day, you know, that you can, you know, reach. Or read some spiritual books that can help, that has some, you know, scriptures in it that can help you better understand it. Or either getting different translations of the Word, because there's different translations that can help you understand what the Word of God is saying. So reading that, reading the Word and building yourself up in His Word and the scriptures, and you know, praying more. You can pray, always praying. He tells us, you know, that we are to pray without ceasing. And when we pray, we can even, it's like, what does that look like? We pray about everything. Jesus, God, help me with this work. Help me at this desk, this computer, or whatever is acting up. You know, praying without ceasing. But also spending that time with Him on an intimate level to get some quality time in with you and Him in a quiet place. And just praying to Him about what is going on in your situation, or the goals that you want to set forth in this year, the 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And I keep, you know, stressing that, because, you know, we say goals for the next year, but we can set goals throughout the year to be reached and, you know, to be obtainable, to accomplish what we want to accomplish throughout the year. So, you know, those are a few examples. You have some more?
Well, again, you know, we always look at, you know, making resolutions and think, I want to lose more weight, or I want to gain some weight, or I want to get in better shape, or I want to deal with it. And again, whenever you are doing these things, you want to do it with a mindset of, I'm not just doing this for me. See, Jennifer and I, we work out. We eat right. But we're not just doing that so we can be healthy.
Right.
There are demands that are made up on us every day because of the kind of work we're doing. They're not as much as physical as they are spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. But it will affect us physically. So we have to eat right and exercise and get the proper rest. But we are doing all of that with the mindset of, hey, if when we're in shape, then when demands are made on us, we're at our best, we're at our peak. We can stay focused, we can stay concentrated, we can be disciplined, and that way it helps us. So no matter what you do, focus on how you can help somebody else. And I like the scripture in Joshua talking about the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, God told Joshua, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And then it says, be careful to do what is written in it, because then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Man, that blew my mind, because it told me my prosperity and my success is not in God's hand. It's in mine. And as I meditate on God's word day and night and observe to do it, I make my way prosperous and I make my way success. Oftentimes, we get frustrated with God and say, God, why you allow this to happen? And God says, if you stay aligned with the truth of my word, he says you will make your own way prosperous. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes, we focus more on getting wisdom from the world, wisdom from natural man, than getting wisdom from God. But when you get in the word of God and you pray and ask God for wisdom and understanding and revelation concerning things that you do, and you stay in that word and meditate on that word, if you stay in that word and then do what God is instructing you to do, walking by faith and not by sight, he says your success and your prosperity is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So don't blame God. Don't blame others for your lack of success and prosperity. Where you are today is based on choices that you've made in your past. But the good thing about it is, each and every day, moment by moment through every day, you can go to the Word of God and renew your thinking, change your mind, and walk in success and prosperity. So make that a goal as you are venturing into, you know, a new month, a new week, a new day, or a new year, and say, let me find out what God is saying to me about the situations and circumstances that I'm in.
And, you know, therefore, you can keep a spiritual journal. You can write these things down, okay? You accomplish some goals. God gave me revelation concerning this goal that I had set for myself, and journal these things, you know, journal those things so that you can build your faith in what God is doing for you. And you can go back and read these things as a motivation, you know, to do more, right? And, you know, setting those things, say for instance, you go out and you go and give back to the community. You go and give back and volunteer. You know, you may be volunteering in your church, and you may want to go outside of the church setting into the community and give back. Those are some of the things that you can do to build yourself spiritually. And write these journals down. God led me to do these things this year. To go and volunteer in an organization that my heart was passionate about, you know. So you're going out and you're building yourself up, and as you write these things down, the spiritual, you know, these spiritual things down in a journal, you're reminding yourself, hey, these are the things that I've obtained that I had already set for myself throughout this year. So, you know, it's awesome to go ahead and just set those things for yourself in a spiritual journal and write them down and make it plain. So when you go back and read it, you'll say, next year, I want to do something different. So thank you so much. We're going to end right there. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. And hopefully that you took something away that you can move forward in growing spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally, and to reach your goals. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you soon in the future. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.